first item on the agenda is to approve the minutes from September the 10th. Are there any corrections that need to be made?
Make that motion.
Okay, a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor to approve the minutes?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Okay, Sergeant, our law enforcement report, please.
Sergeant Washington, precinct two, constable's office. Quick note before I get started with the numbers. We did lose a deputy last month. Deputy Gonzalez resigned. He went back to the ISDPD, and that'll kind of address some issues here later. We are in the process, though, of completing the field training process with another deputy, so that'll be mitigated with bringing another deputy on here probably in the next couple of weeks. Once he completes the field training program, we'll be shuffling around. Regards to the numbers that we're looking at, the total calls for service, we had 24 district calls by our deputies and 360 total contract calls. Out of those district calls by our deputies, those were mine. Again, going back to the simple calls that the supervisor is having to address, nothing specifically where I'm responding to the calls that another district or contract can take. In regards to alarms, for last month, there were 27 alarm calls, one assault, two assault family violence, one sexual assault, 37 assist other agencies, one burglary of vehicle, three criminal mischief, 11 disturbances, five frauds, four harassments, six motor vehicle crashes, 43 information civil calls, one runaway, 37 suspicious persons vehicles, two thefts of motor vehicles and three thefts, 114 vacation watches, 23 welfare checks. There are 23 reports taken, two felony arrests, 10 misdemeanor arrests, a total 11 charges filed. All this would make sense because in comparison to the previous months, I was looking and noticed that the alarm calls were pretty much close to the same, slightly up. The assist other agency calls were slightly up. Those include something that we don't actually have in the stats that I kind of need to bring up is those CIT calls. CIT calls where we have to have an intervention from Precinct 1, who handles all of our mental health evaluations in the county, and they'll come down to a residence when we get to a call that was initially titled as a disturbance or initially titled as a harassment or whatever, and find out we have someone who has a mental issue, they have to be evaluated. So we'll be tied up to assist other agency. So we've had a couple of those over the last couple months that have increased because they've become more active and actually responded to where we don't have to take those calls. Again, even though I took a number of calls regarding those information civil calls, they actually were down from previous months. But again, those will typically start to spike until, of course, the 1st and 15th, the beginning of summer, end of summer holidays. So I'm thinking in November and November, that's when each child custody is occurring, we get the number of those calls where we have to go out and address the actual civil portion of it. Vacation watches were back up from the previous month. And the total other calls were actually down. Like I stated before, the district calls were down, the contract calls were also slightly down, and the traffic contacts were down. A lot of those reasons those calls cost a substantial amount of those calls, that additional deputy we typically have on the street typically takes up those calls. Especially when you talk about if he's not going to a call for service at a residence when he's making traffic stops. And Deputy Gonzalez is making right around, for a month, he's making right around 50 or 60 stops. So I saw that reflect in the numbers. So not having that extra deputy, you can see where the numbers drop. And I'm trying to put together a graph where I'm able to show where those are reflective every year, as opposed to current numbers that we're using, because it makes a little bit more sense when you see those numbers spike. There's typically a reason why. It's not that the deputies are out there, it's typically because either someone was sick, we had a lot of training for the month, like this month we have a lot of training for the deputies. And there's always a reason why those numbers spike, either they go up or go down. And also in regards to types of calls, obviously if I only have one deputy on the street, I'm used to having two, and I have to go to a disturbance over here where I may end up arresting someone, that just took me off a call where my eyes were on, where we may have had a disturbance at hell for a while, or we didn't get those extra 8 or 9 traffic stops. So those things were reflected with one another. They always tie hand in hand. That's why it was significant when we lost a deputy for the previous month. Those family violence calls, I believe a couple of arrests were made. One of them was actually a deadly conduct where an individual person was taken to jail. The sexual assault, that was a case in action. What happens is that CPS get a call, they'll refer to us to investigate to see if there are potential criminal charges. It was referred back to our deputies, our investigator, when they actually went out, and it was an actual investigation. So a lot of times when you see these calls, I think I addressed this actually last month in the at the POA meeting, is that our calls are titled as we get them, as we get them. If they don't change, that's how it's titled. It doesn't necessarily mean we went out and someone was actually sexually assaulted on this day and went to jail in handcuffs. I mean, an investigation was open that day at that time. The same thing with your car thefts and burglaries and so on and so on. On this page here where we give the summary, it kind of gives a quick brief synopsis of what happened if someone actually went to jail per se. So that how that breaks down, we're able to address that down the road. And that I've started putting them, because I know that this was not on the previous summaries prior to the last couple of months, but when I put a traffic, it'll say traffic on that summary, it'll say what happened at the end of, so you know what kind of arrest, people looking through it, you see, well, it was a traffic stop, DWI, traffic stop, possession of marijuana arrest, traffic stop, suspended driver's license, so it helps with understanding on what happened when the deputy was out there doing their job day in and day out, so you have to go searching for that information. I know that when we lost Canizales, at the same time, I was addressing the district units to be more proactive along the corridor because of all of the guys coming in hitting our cell phone stores. That's where you start seeing these DWI arrests and catching a drunk driver at 8 o'clock or whatever the situation may be. So because they're more proactive, they're catching certain things on traffic stops, but also the numbers dropped in the specific contract because we also lost a deputy. So I know it's a lot. I try to make sure I break down and make sure there's a clear understanding of what's going on when they're out there month in and month out. But that also gives you understanding when I try to put the information in the summary so that you don't have to go searching for that.
Thank you.
Something else that's probably going to have to change, that we've noticed that the deputies are, when the calls are coming out and dispatch, we're having to fix it. I've tried to make sure there were no errors, not too many errors in this. Like I said, if we have a disturbance, they're sending the call back out again. It's a disturbance. It's not a disturbance. It's the same call. It should be titled information. Unless a new call altogether starts, then it should be titled that. And I'm having to go back in and fix those, make sure they're accurately reflected, because they're going back to actually investigate, well, you were assaulted by him. And then they retitle the call again later. We go back out there later because she's calling and complaining. She maybe just wants to speak to the supervisor. Well, she said, well, someone assaulted me. When they're typing it as assault, it's an investigation. Unless a whole other assault happened again, which does happen down here, that's what actually I think occurred. Okay.
Good.
So, pending your questions.
Good.
Oh, National Night Out. The people in the community have been extremely supportive in coming out. The deputies are making sure that they're coming out and getting involved. I'm trying to force the deputies because a lot of them don't like to speak to the general public outside of traffic stops or walking the storefront. So I know we have another event coming up. This coming up weekend, I won't be there to have military training, but in 2 weeks there will be another one out there, forcing, having the deputies go out and talk and speak because of a lot of questions general public will have. But not just besides the coffee, those events when the deputies go out there and put a face to who's actually working the streets, has been real helpful in addressing some of these other issues we had. The same thing I've been preaching for the past 6 or 7 months. So we are seeing a change in that. And that was something that really hurt when we lost Deputy Gonzalez, because he came from the school district. He was used to speaking with kids all the time. And then we lost him just as he was becoming more influential in speaking to the general public on the streets. So we'll continue to work on that.
Question?
Yes, sir.
On the neighborhood watch things, where are the deputies speaking? I mean, there's nothing organized in Imperial Oaks that I'm aware of, which disappoints me tremendously that there's not. But and I know I'm not laying that on you.
It's yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But are they speaking at individual neighborhood block things that are residents in Imperial Oaks have organized for neighborhood watch?
The Falls and Imperial Oaks had an event when the constable came out and the deputies go there because it's part of the community. And we just put up a booth. We hand out stuff. But the deal is, I don't need to be the one talking.
But not in Imperial Oaks.
Not specifically in Oaks. There's one coming up.
The National Night Out event was in October 2nd in the Falls.
Well, it was more than just the Falls.
Yeah, the Creekside had one, Spring Trails had one, a lot of the different communities. Imperial Oaks Parks did not have.
They have a fall festival.
Fall festival.
Fall festival
here
this weekend.
Right. Yes, they changed the National Night Out to the fall festival.
And that's incumbent on, they can do, if that's what they want, that's perfectly fine. and we'll come out. We can't dictate how they structure or name it.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
It's the same event as a national night.
Sir, yes, sir.
As it was.
Yes, sir.
Seems like they just wanted to do it on
the weekend. They're just closed, so they just combined the event.
They just didn't want to do it, yeah. They did that, right.
Right. And a lot of times when they change these events, like they change the dates, they're trying to make these events more beneficial for the community to make sure that they're able to participate. And I'll go by the office and I'll talk to them and say, hey, look, these were the ideas we've seen work here, or this is what we've seen work here. I am extremely big in the general public being involved with what's going on law enforcement. I know and I've seen firsthand what happens when the community is not involved with what's going on. That's why I think not only this MUD meeting, and I think those are, I went to my MUD meeting this morning in my neighborhood. I get furious when things happen, but I'm also encouraged when I see other people show up or how involved with my representative from our MUD. So that's the push that I'm pushing on my deputies, to make sure they're involved so that they can address the concerns before they get out of hand. You have a valid concern as a resident when we're out there on patrol and what we're doing. And I understand that sometimes I can't address that while I'm there. I'm dealing with a suicide, or I'm dealing with a shooting or a crash. I can't address it then. I have absolutely no problem with addressing offhand. That's my job. That's what you pay me to do. Yeah. And if you're not getting that, you ask them to make sure it happens. I know how the constable feels about that. We come from the same frame of mind as how he wants community policing to be addressed. That's how the chief feels. That's how the captain feels, LT. I'm on that same frame of mind where we need to get out there and make sure we're more involved with what's going on. Because I'm sure that if someone breaking your house in the middle of the night and you don't have a deputy doing anything, you better be over there. You better get his tail down the road. So not just the whole thing with the events, but he just needs to go out there and talk to these kids. It makes a big difference what's going on. So the event itself, they have modified it. I know we've seen some more dates as far as the locations out there, but it's not per se out there speaking. They're showing up. We'll just have a booth, make sure we pass out stuff, take it and post it. Those are the pictures I posted.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I just want to knock out a few real quick. The felony, the one felony, do you know what that felony arrest is?
Assault with a deadly weapon. That was a deadly conduct. Fired the gun down the road. That's a felony arrest. The other one.
A gun was fired or just branded?
No, it was fired. The gun was fired. Fired in the road. Even though it was fired, it hit the road, didn't hit anyone or any structure or anything. It's still because it's deadly conduct.
Yeah.
And the other one was.
There was two, I see. When it shows two on monthly totals, that means one was with the district unit and one was.
Correct. So we have the total numbers.
Yeah.
And they'll give you the overall numbers. But when we break them down on the front page by district workers.
Just refreshing.
So, okay. Yeah. And we don't see too many of them. That's why we'll review them a lot of times, make sure they're accurate. Yeah. Make sure that they're green. That's where the whole grading process comes in with the numbers, and that's what we're typically showing.
And then, are all the patrol cars marked Imperial Oaks?
Yes.
Okay. And then, do y'all contract deputies out, like when you're down someone right now? Aren't there, I don't know what I call it, but deputies that work on contract? They're not full-time?
No. What'll happen is, I mean, right now, let's see, what's his name, Michelle? So we have one deputy out now, but we also have district units to cover down because we already have district units in the area anyway. In essence, I don't need, and I've already clarified this with our district units, I don't need my district units to take a whole bunch of reports. I just need them to help out, okay? Because I understand they're trying to cover a large footprint.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, we're always trying to fill those gaps. When we lose someone in that time frame, and it's unpredictable, we may lose two deputies. One may get sick, one may have to move because of a family member, or whatever.
Yeah.
And we just try to make sure we have someone hired in the process. Fortunate for us, we have someone in the field training process right now that we can put on the street here in the near future.
So the okay.
Yeah. And it's just by typically, I mean, he would have probably been released this week or last week, but there's some things that he needs to go over again, like working crashes. Maybe he didn't get a lot of crashes as early as this. Yeah. You have to have that. As part of the training process, so he understands how to do it when he's on the street. That's what's set. That's what's holding.
But does Precinct 3 have non-staff deputies, like
reserve deputies?
Is that what that's called?
Reserve. Yes, we do have reserve officers.
Okay.
So if we hit a short ball, say hypothetically today, I didn't have anybody, and we needed deputies out there because of ongoing issue with say a shooting or whatever situation would be, I need deputies out there called reserve officers.
Okay. Okay. And then the last one was. I've been meaning to ask this, the ratio between day and night, like how many, if somebody asked me, well, about how many people are here at 2 a.m. versus 2 p.m.?
We currently work, we have two deputies on every shift. Okay. And I include the supervisor, meaning the corporal and myself.
Okay.
So there are two deputies
awesome.
On the shift.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Anyone? Okay, Sergeant, thank you so much for your report. Thank you for your hard work.
No problem.
Thank you.
Very appreciated. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, any citizen comments?
John, could I ask a question
yes.
in this category?
Please.
This has been such an issue the last 4 months. I would like to know if we're being recorded twice tonight. I see Mr. Ridgway has his recording device he's had in the past set in front of him, and we've got an official recording device going on. So are we being recorded twice?
I'm recording on that one.
Is it being streamed?
No.
Will it be posted on social media?
I don't have any plans with it, Jim.
Well, I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't have, I mean.
And so you can tell me, no, it's not going to be posted on social media. You're not willing to do that.
I don't have any plans to post on social media.
That's different than a no.
Unless you give me a plan.
That's different than a no.
You can take it as you like it, Jim.
You won't answer.
I gave you my answer.
That's not the answer to the question I asked. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Bill, our bookkeeper's report, please.
Okay, debt service funds drew $789.14 in interest, $28 service charge. You're at $1,187,027.53. That construction account had a little bit of interest in, service charge out. It's $91,975.84. Operating had deposits of $373,811.85. 29 checks today totaling $385,138.25. Other disbursements $125,335.06. Of course, most of that is San Jacinto River Authority. Balance is $1,147,675.23. Investments there drew $488.07 in interest. We paid your quarterly IRS payment, $15 service charge. You're at $1,696,822.05. Total funds $2,844,497.28.
What page are you on, Bill?
Five. Six, man. Actually going to seven. There were 27 deposit refunds that totaled $2,410.94. Balance in that account is $2,073.15. Collected almost $3,400 in taxes, drew a little bit of interest, service charge. The tax account's at $40,296.40. And just for your info, as of September 30th, you are 99.63% collected. Month four on your budget, and you're a little over on revenues, and you're just a little over on expenses, and you got about a little over 7 months worth of reserve. There's your meeting by meeting comparison. As far as investments, the pool rates are climbing, CD rates are climbing, but not as fast, but we're getting good rates whenever we renew CDs. And your money's secured at 135%. Nothing unusual this month.
When will we invoice or split that difference with South County on the amicus group?
When Lori says that it's all billed out and all the final billing's done, then I'll send all the invoices to South Montgomery and bill them for half.
Okay. I'll have to look. I don't remember whether Paul does the billing for that matter number, so he's a little slower than I am.
Yeah, he gave us a good bit of it this time.
Yeah, so. Okay.
But, I mean, there are still maybe some reviews.
Well, that number looked like it had gone over the $10,000 per entity.
Oh, really? Because
I can't remember. I thought I saw it at like 24.
Okay, I'd have to look.
Well, it's probably right here.
I think it's 14.
No, it's not. You'll have to add this month and the month
prior. Okay,
I'll tell you what it is.
I just want to make sure that thing isn't, you know, I don't need a whole lot.
It was $15,000 this month, that which was actually 2 months. Because remember, he didn't get it in last month on time.
Right.
And then he said he was watching it.
So. Okay.
And August was $8,700.
So he's over.
He's over.
So we pump the brakes. I mean,
I
just on the follow-up or recent.
Done,
okay.
You know, except, I mean, we did look at the Lone Star, which I will talk to you about.
Yeah. Okay, so we shouldn't be thinking a whole lot more is coming.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, then a motion to a payment of bills and approve director fees and expenses.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Thank you. Okay, now, Mike, our operators report, please.
Hey, guys, I have quite a bit to go over today, so we'll start with my report for billing period September 2018. This is for August. You have water and sewer revenue totaling $367,462.21. You have 3,820 connections, 3,598 with garbage, 42 vacancies in your district. Pump from all three of your wells this month, about 20... A little over 20 million gallons. surface water, 22,803,000, to a total pumpage of 43,375,000 gallons. We billed out this month, 41,908,000. We attributed 50,000 to leaks and flushing. Your pump versus bill is at 97%. As you can see, that wasn't near enough water to put towards leaks and flushing, but we're trying to be conservative on that, because we did repair 16 leaks in your district for the month of August. We took 10 back T samples. They were all good. The wastewater treatment plant is currently operating at 72% of its permitted capacity. No violations. No taps for the month, no taps for the year. So we got a total tap connection for waste management of $3,598. Not waste management, I'm sorry, best trash. The last two pages, the next two pages are just a breakout by sections, and then the last page is eight. There's eight uncollectibles I'm asking for your approval tonight. None of these were homeowners. They all left owing their final bill or before paying their final bill. This is the what is left of the remainder of their water bill. Total $1,086.26. The next thing I have to share with you is we were contacted by AFC, which is American Fire Flow Control Hydrants. There was a 2018 AFC recall and on fire hydrants and all over the state, really. And I'm sure it expands out from there, but they had a recall of fire hydrants. And I'm sure you guys know, but our guys test fire hydrants twice a year to make sure that they're all working properly. And we label what kind of fire hydrants they are. We put the reflectors down if they need reflectors. And anyways, by doing that, we were able to create the report for AFC. And you have a total of 38 fire hydrants in your district, which are going to be replaced by Texas Hydrants for free. So I just thought I'd share that with you guys. It's an awesome thing we were able to get done for you guys and get these fire hydrants replaced at no cost to you.
Sure is. Are any of those not functioning properly?
No, sir. They're tested twice a year.
They all tested.
They were recalled by this company. These are the ones that we have in our district, that American Darlings that we have in our district, that they're recalling in that year, those year periods. So we were able to pull a quick list, send it to them, and hopefully we'll be seeing that get done over the next 2 or 3 months.
Good.
So. Hey, Mike, what's the process of replacing a fire hydrant?
It can be pretty tedious, so you have to.
Great, there's one right in front of my house.
Okay, well they don't have to dig anything up, so they
I just know my neighbors are going to ask.
Yeah. So,
is backflow an issue?
What's that?
Is backflow an issue?
Mm-mm. No, valve it off at the valve behind the fire hydrant, And then you take the, there's breakaway bolts, you take the flange off of the seat with the fire hydrant sits on, so if a vehicle runs over, it breaks those bolts away, and the fire hydrant breaks off, so don't bust the main out. And so they take that off, and then they have a big tool that goes down the bottom and unscrews it, the seat from the bottom. They put the new one in, new hydrant on top. And it's about
How long is water typically?
It's off? Never off to your house. The each fire hydrant has a valve that goes just for that fire hydrant.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't. Medway, Thorsby, Markle, Pincher Creek, Winboro, Whitburn, Rycroft, Whitelaw, Scola, Haven House, Victoria, Tillcrest, Victoria, Willow Creek, Dorrington, Lismore, Richards, and Forsberg, the old Forsberg, the other side. Those are all the streets.
Oh,
so you're not on that one.
Yeah, not on that one.
So just a note. The ones.
So does that mean that the ones that are like in the newer section, they just not the recall?
Right, right. Next thing I have, guys, Van Moore Property sent us a letter asking for a request for a leak adjustment on an account that they had a leak on after hours. They sent somebody out to repair the leak. Emergency response on a Sunday evening. They sent the invoice for that. It's hard for me to give you guys a good number because this is a high usage meter. In May they used 91,000 gallons. In June they used 177,000 gallons. In July they used 167,000 gallons. And they're asking for a leak adjustment on 187,000 gallons. So
which meter?
2201.5 North Ridge Forest.
Okay.
Is this an irrigation or is this?
Irrigation.
This is the POA that's asking for this. Imperial Oaks POA.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. And they had a leak in their irrigation. Is that correct?
It seems that the valve was stuck in the on position. Okay. And so I guess it ran for.
And we have not. We have not credited any of our customers for their leaks in their homes.
Well, not without asking you, for sure.
Well. I mean, it's very rare that we, because they've had a leak, we give them credit.
We usually do that for sewer part of it.
Yeah.
But right. Of course, this wasn't, none of this went into the sewer.
This is an irrigation. We don't charge sewer on that.
Right.
Okay. And right now you're saying how, you haven't determined how much might have been.
I don't know how to determine it because of their. Because
they use a lot of water anyway.
So it's about 10,000 gallons over. They're high from the month before,
yeah.
So 177 to 187. So,
what would we?
Are you going to adjust 10,000 gallons,
yeah.
Or
right?
Would it be a big deal if they shut their irrigation meters? Not all of them, but during the non-irrigation season, in theory, would that prevent something like this?
Sure, but this was a stuck valve, so
yeah.
They came on. It was called for. Came on, and then. Uh-huh. Something got in the valve, wouldn't let it shut off, so it just ran and ran and ran until someone came out.
And it looks to be about 10,000 gallons.
According to their last bill.
Yeah.
Well.
We can't determine anymore. Why would we credit it when we do not credit our other customers for their leaks?
Because they are the customers, right?
Well, we have recently credited at least one large
issue. And he wasn't around his home.
We certainly have in the past smaller ones. So.
He wasn't around his home, and it was caused by a contractor while he was away from his home, maybe 30 days.
Go ahead. How many meters do you, around about does
DHO have?
It's van.
I'm just going to be guessing. On that third page, it kind of shows you the Civic Center.
Mm-hmm.
So 95, 96,
97, 98, 99
meters, right around
100
meters, maybe?
John, would you be open to saying we could do something on this, on the contingency that they turn off the meters they're not using until I don't know, March?
No, I wouldn't mind them to leave them on.
Based on the history, they do turn quite a few of them off, it looks like. Because the water usage drops quite a bit once it gets to the fall and winter time. I guess that's my question. When did they say the leak happened?
On the second page, I think, shows when the night that they went out.
Okay, it's in July. So, I mean, there's always, even our customers have a spike in the summer months. So they're...
Right.
That's...
But I've covered them, looked into their stuff for the last year and a half, and I think they spent about $100,000 on water last year. Well, one of those months was like $300,000, $400,000.
Last winter, they let one run for 3 days when it was icing outside.
Yeah. So my point is,
since it's
the customer's money anyway, it's just going into the HOA fee. What could be done to make sure that we don't have those water losses passed on? That's all. If I'd be happy to credit that back.
Well, somebody can make a motion and we'll see if it passes.
I make a motion that we credit that back if they're willing to return at least.
What's the amount?
What's the dollar amount?
You guys would have to tell me.
10,000 gallons, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you guys would have to determine. They have 187,000 gallons of water. Mm-hmm. In the month before, they did 177,000 gallons.
Yeah, so it's 177 to 167.
Right. And that represents September's usage versus August. Mm-hmm. So August is going to be dry. Okay. September had, am I off?
July.
Yeah,
that's for July and August.
July and June.
Yeah, so June was 177,000 gallons. Mm-hmm. July was 167,000 gallons. And August is 187,000. And as far as what I feel like they're asking for, because they've already paid June and July's, they're asking for credit for the 187,000 gallons. Mm-hmm. Or that's what they said.
Some part of it there.
Yeah.
I thought it was 10,000 gallons.
I was just telling you what the difference was from the month previous if we were going to adjust it. If they're saying that there was a leak and this is how much water went on the ground, more than normal, then it would be about 10,000 gallons. If that's.
I'd make a motion to go half on that amount. If they turned off half of their...
You're saying half of what amount?
The 180,000.
Oh, so you want to... Their average usage is 167 or 177.
I get it. I'm just trying to incentivize them to prevent...
You're saying you want to credit 90,000... You want to credit half of the 187, so I'd be crediting 95,000?
How long did this thing run that it's generated 180,000? Take a look at the
monthly average.
Well, sounds like they got an after-hours call. I don't know if it was over the weekend.
But how are you going to get them to turn them off in the winter by crediting this one bill, 90,000?
I think that's...
Well, it won't happen again.
Quite frankly, what they do in the winter, that's about...
Yeah, but I can make a motion that incentivizes. It's like the problem is that they got so many meters.
Is there
a
second on his motion then? Okay. There's not a second. Okay. Is there anything else, Mike?
No, sir.
That was it?
No, sir.
Okay. We need a motion for the write-offs for $1,086.26.
No move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Okay, Mike, our report on the park, please.
Okay, guys. Three trees in the wetlands. There were 22 calls this month. 6 for the pavilion, 14 for the ball fields. 2 needing other information. There were no parties for August. We did get a call for the fall festival and from another realtor event coming up in October. Send more information on that, and I'll present it to you when they sent it, because they hadn't as of yet what they were wanting to do. If they're wanting to do another movie night or whatever at the fields or at the pavilion. Other than that, it was routine as normal, just cutting grass. And the red ball fields have picked up a little bit, not as much as normal during fall ball. So I don't know if that other place opened back up, or since the Falls have that place now, if they're using their fields over there, I'm not sure, but generally fall ball and really picks up for the T-ballers and our.
Well, I would tell you this, for whatever reason, all of the rec league stuff this fall, all the numbers are down. From South County Football League, it's almost, they lost a third of their kids. And I mean, football, they can kind of explain it through concussion and stuff like that. So it started to really drop off. But even Orwell, baseball and girls softball, the numbers have dropped way down. Some of it has to do with, even the population is steady here and people are still moving in. A lot of the folks with kids are moving out to the new areas in Magnolia, to some of the newer schools and stuff that are out there. So we're losing kids to further out.
And Fortnite.
Yeah, and Fortnite. But the athletic numbers are actually down all across our area in every sport.
Okay.
Some of it has to do with, I think, people moving out and the kids aren't moving in type deal. But then also some of the, we've heard complaints that the cost for some of the rec league stuff has gotten out of hand because so much of it has gone specialized with select during this time of year as well. So the rec leagues are increasing their prices because the select prices are so high. So the rec leagues feel like they can kind of get away with some of it, and it's turned some folks off. So
I know scrap yards packed all the time.
Scrap yards got no problems.
Yeah.
They got no problem. And they're busy every night, whether it's games or all their fields are full with practices too. So, but that's all select ball. But the rec numbers are just down across the area.
How about the Eagle play?
He emailed me just today. Jason has sent him over the information he gave me. He just emailed me just a while ago.
Sure.
Said, you know, was just wondering where we were at on it. So I think, are you going to say anything about it?
Okay. Oh, we'll wait.
Talk about it in his report. And then I'll reach out to the gentleman tomorrow.
Okay.
And
good. Thank you. Okay, that takes care of our park. Then thank you very much. Oh.
John?
Yes. Jim, go ahead.
Can we rethink this deal with POA and this valve that was stuck open? Is there any way to revisit that, or does that have to go as an agenda item for next month?
There was just one motion made that died for lack of a second. So
sure,
the issue
bring up a
whether
motion.
There's an adjustment.
Well, I can understand not making an adjustment of 180,000 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, as I understand it, essentially a month's worth. But, you know, they did, once they were aware of it, act diligently and get their service people out to correct the valve, repair the valve, shut the situation off. It just seems like we could, they are a customer of ours too. Let's keep that in mind. Big customer. It just seems like we could do something to accommodate part of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pay the cost of repairing the valve. I don't know, something.
Well, then I mean, just say what are you? I mean, it sounded like you had some kind of value that or gallons that you would credit.
Well, I misunderstood what Mike said when it came to this 10,000 gallons.
Okay, right.
Okay, I misunderstood the point he was making. I'll take it back to a dollar amount, which is just actually pulling something out of the air, totally, of $250.
Well, how many gallons do you think that?
I have no idea how many gallons that represents.
I mean, so it seemed to be, it only seems like that they're over their regular rate by 15,000 gallons.
But John, they paid $319.25 for water.
Right.
Hey, all the rest of the bill was San Jacinto and Lone Star, which you paid, so
yeah,
they
you
got
can't credit that out. Yeah.
And they paid $200 for the plumber to fix it. So
mm-hmm.
they've got $520 into it.
Okay.
In water and
repair.
So it's about, to me it sounded like they were $15,000 over the normal use. That was the lead part of it. Because 1 month was 167, 1 month was 177, then they went to 187.
Approximately.
So let's say between the 2 months they were over by 15,000 for the leak.
Yeah.
And we could either credit them that 15,000 gallons less the San Jacinto fee.
They would still pay the San Jacinto fee.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me.
Okay. So that's something though, right? 15,000 gallons. We say that that was a leak portion. They pay the San Jacinto fee and we'll credit our water charge from us.
They'll get credit for that 15,000 gallons of water cost only, not fees.
Not the San Jacinto and not the Lone Star. That's something.
Sounds reasonable to me. At least just put something on the table and acknowledges that there was a problem that they saw having repaired.
They've helped us in many situations and we're going to try and help them.
If we're on the same plane, I'll make that motion.
Okay. Second, anybody?
Yeah, I'm good. Second.
All in favor?
Well, can we discuss
before? Go ahead, please. Yeah.
I'm not interested if there's not some kind of behavior modification, because I've watched their meters for some time and this happens every month. And so I don't know why this one's coming up, but I've seen these things for like 300,000 and nobody can explain it.
It's funny that you say that, because I also operate 115 and 99, and they had asked for this thing in another district, and I had never seen it before. They just, you know, they said this happened, and that district gave them helped them out as well, and so now it's starting to become routine. Because I've never seen it before, and now I feel like it's maybe that's what I'm talking about. I think the Good Samaritan thing was that they'd let that thing go all week, and somebody would call the water district, and we would go out and turn it off.
Yeah, I mean, they're all volunteers.
It seems like now that they're sending, at least they send somebody out to turn it off.
Yeah.
Well, from what I understand, I've attended the POA meetings, and they're working on this system all the time to try and make improvements, to try and lower the usage during the winter. I see them already trying to do that.
No, you can see it's reflective in the bill that they, during the summer or the winter months, they do go quite a bit lower. I mean,
so we have a second. Is there more discussion for you or James?
I think I'm part of the reason it's lower, because I've been watching those meters, and so I'll just emphasize that they're volunteers. They don't have time to go check on all those. One of the ideas that was discussed here, and it was discussed at the POA, and I'm not speaking for anyone, just that this was discussed, is that we could entertain a vacation, what do you call that, where you shut it off as if someone was going out of town, right? And there's a fee for that, and there's a fee to turn it back on. That pretty much guarantees no water. If there's a freeze, if there's an any, it's not happening. You don't need the water in the winter. But you're right, Jim. It's their decision. So okay. That's all. That's my discussion.
All right, a vote on this, please. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay, thank you.
In favor?
Okay, let me. Oh, yeah.
So for clarification, can you tell me what I'm to do?
15,000 gallons credit on just our water part, not the SJRA or Lone Star.
Okay, so it's already been there.
Thank you. Jim said something like 200 something dollars.
I threw that out.
Oh, okay. They,
John the motion came back actually, with that being the excess okay. water. That was, sure. Okay.
The actual motion was for the 15,000.
Yeah.
Okay, Jason, please. Thanks. Right. Thanks for coming out tonight. We missed you last month.
Oh, yeah, I missed you guys, too. I was upset.
The other gentleman, though, he was, like, finishing everything at 99%.
Oh, was he? Oh, boy. Well, don't worry. It's come down a little bit. It's more like 97 now.
So he just didn't know all of it.
Yeah, he didn't understand
it. He didn't know all of it.
Yeah.
Well, you're training now.
Get him back on a full-time basis.
Thank you.
The commercial waterline loop, the plans are they're at 100%. We sent them back to agency, so we got to go to City of Houston and Montgomery County to get approvals. They'll sign the plans, and then once we have those signed plans, then we can start construction. But of course, before we do that, we need to advertise a project. So we're going to begin advertisement on October 24th. And it's a couple-week process, so we'll open bids on the 7th, which will be just before our 12th mud meeting. So I'll be able to bring those in for you guys to take a look at. The car wash feasibility study.
I'm sorry, Jason.
Yep.
The commercial waterline loop, is this something that was that's been discussed for months, and I'm just out of it?
Yep.
Okay.
So
can you walk me through it one more, just a brief summary of what sure. that is.
The history. I'll start with the history. Mm-hmm. We had a water line that went down to serve that did it's Spring Creek.
Sounding familiar.
Yeah, and then that has been disconnected because the widening of Rayford Road, and that the commercial areas, and I'll let you go from
is that
there.
Connected to the sinkhole from last year? That's
no.
Okay.
No. Well, it is, actually.
From the roadway.
Yeah.
The roadway. It crossed underneath the road. But, so there's no, so the commercial, the Kroger Shopping Center, all that is just on a one single feed.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the line breaks, that whole area could be out of water.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we're extending a line that is at the Faith United Methodist Church boundary line in the Kroger Shopping Center. We're taking a water line up there to the DD6 ditch.
How many inches?
It's a 12-inch.
Okay.
And then it's going along the DD6 ditch and tying into the first stub street in Section 3, I think it is.
Okay.
So you make a loop.
Yeah, so it ties back in that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you.
The car wash feasibility study. There's nothing new on that. I think we also have that on item 9, which we can talk about then. District maintenance items. Excuse me, I skipped one. The Boy Scout Park bench. So we got the location of where the benches were supposed to get go from the Boy Scout, Matthew. We prepared an exhibit, sent it to the pipeline company. They responded back and basically said no because the place that they were trying to put it was actually on top of their pipeline. So we're going to go back to Matt and figure out if there's another place we can put the benches. Once we figure that out, then we'll send it back and get their approval. So
shovels on top of the pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's good.
So we have been doing work. Hopefully we'll get a new location set up and set it back. And then the next thing I have, which is the discharge permit, we've done the publishing, so right now we're just waiting for a certain time period after it's been published, you gotta wait, and then the TCQ will issue the permit. And then...
Why did we need the... Is that just regular business, or was there...
Yes, it's your wastewater treatment plant has a permit with the TCQ, it renews every, I think it's... 3-4 years.
So this is just renewing?
It's just renewing, yep. There's a packet of a report we're supposed to put together. It's pretty standard now, but we have to do it every so often. In district service, I think Andrew, which came for me last month, talked a little bit about this. We received an email from George Cast. He's the owner of Track Land at 25505 Richards Roads. And he had some buildings which were going to be light industrial use that he wanted to construct. At that time, he didn't have his usages figured out, but he has since kind of helped me get closer to what he would need because it's light industrial. It's really not very much usage. It's going to be about 13 connections. So that's kind of give you guys an idea. And on this map, so the thing to note about this is his tract is not anywhere close to any water line or sanitary sewer lines. So in order for him to get service, he would probably have to pay to get those lines, at least the water line extended to him. And then he would probably have to do a private lift station and a force main to try and tie into the sanitary sewer, much like the car wash is set up.
Is this outside the bounds of Rayford Road?
No, it is inside Rayford Road Mud.
Okay.
It's a weird little square that kind of sticks out.
So the red rectangle-ish shape is in the mud, and then you can see some faint white lines. The mud boundary is actually right here, which is 1, 2, 3, 4 white lines over.
To the right?
Yes.
Where's his development?
His is here. That.
That's the, that's
and
where
then
we'll
the see. Mud district boundary is actually this whole piece.
I see. Okay, right. And this is the Charlie Burt
site. That is the Charlie Burt site, yes. Huh.
Jason, so the there's red a line overlays the white line.
Yes.
What you're telling me.
Yes. So the mud district.
Mud goes.
Yes, sir.
Here.
No, right here.
Okay.
This is in the mud district, and then there's a gap.
But this is the area he's talking about
yes.
developing.
So tell me this, if he's in our district and we have the capacity we need to supply him, do we automatically?
Yes, but he can pay to get the line to his
truck. You'll have to pay that, okay.
Yes.
So we do not, we're not obligated to pay that. Okay, good.
Jason, there is an interconnect meter in his driveway with South Montgomery. It's been there for since day one, as long as I can remember.
Oh, it goes all the way in front of his track?
It's in front of his. It's in front of that driveway.
Oh, I guess maybe our maps are just out of date.
Big metal box.
Okay, so maybe he has water, but he doesn't have sanitary.
Well, that's so. The left side of his would. Yeah, the meter sits on the far right side of that of his driveway.
Okay.
So it doesn't.
Do we have capacity for sewer and water?
Yes.
We do.
Yeah. So if you look at the next item, item number six on my list. I gave you guys a recap of kind of where we are to date. And I preface this by saying that there's really two ways to look at this. There's the TCQ, the way they look at connections, and there's the way that we look as engineers look at connections, which is actual usage. The TCQ looks at their connections as in how many meters they have. Well, 1 meter, so your single family residential house has 1 meter, so that's how they look at connections. Well, if you have a big commercial development that has 1 meter, they're using more than one connection worth of water, so they look at it differently. So that's why I've broken it down here. So the current connections based on TCQ rules is you have 36 connections with the car wash and with George Cast's property, you would get up to 3653. The max connection according to TCQ rules is 3750. So you're still, even with adding on these 13 connections, would be able to serve them. Now, if you guys, I don't know if you guys remember, but 3750 isn't the cap number. We can add a hydro tank, and you can get up to 39, I forget what the number is, it's 3,900 connections. So by adding another hydro tank, we could serve more people. And that's based on TCQ connections. Now, based on actual usage with peak flow, so this is like top end peak usage, you'll see you can get up to 3,900 connections, and you can see even with George Cash, you'd be 3,830, so you're still within the bounds. So you're still okay.
Okay.
Is there some backstory to
yes.
it? Because I mean, I just feel like
yes.
it's this knowingness that I.
Have you ever heard of the Charlie Birch dump site?
Mm-mm.
Oh, huh.
I have a whole report on it.
Go Google it.
Yeah.
Okay. But as far as relevant to what we're talking about now, is there anything to know about the history of that?
That's
parcel?
That's why this parcel has never been developed, and I don't even understand.
How he can,
because I'm not intimately
familiar
with all that, but I know there's been an enforcement action on that property for years.
Yeah, a long
time. But let's say it's already like tainted type land. I guess I'm wondering, like,
could we not serve them?
No. I mean, you gotta legally, but I'm just thinking. Could someone just go, let's put a waste injection well on a site like that?
No.
If it's an area that's already polluted, does that somehow entice?
That type of stuff has to be regulated by the state.
Right.
So the answer to that would probably
be. So that's like a far-fetched.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of like.
I mean, in fact, there are wells there that
are
monitored.
Yeah.
Because there was
an
issue of a plume that emanated from.
It's extended like down this way.
Property.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the reason I can remember something about it is because when DD6 excavated the channel, they came on some of those the barrels. There was the person named Charlie Birch was somehow affiliated with Roman Haas.
Oh,
and
really?
So the barrels came from Roman Haas, and for many years they participated in the cleanup of that site because I think they had just hired that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Charlie Birch, go make these things
go away.
That was what happened back in the 60s
yeah,
or whenever that was.
It was out in the country, you know.
Yeah, and so that's where it went away to. And then when DD6 was excavating their channels, they found some of it, and it's in a that's supposedly aligned, you know, that's aligned
well, they probably
containment.
They probably
I would sure assume that the property owner is aware of all the...
Yeah, he has to be.
Well, that's why I asked the question, because, you know,
yeah,
what kind of entities might be interested in land like that? Well, if you were, if it was going to just be a disposal site.
It's kind of hard to see. It's a little black line. So that's where the plume.
But so what's the question for us then? Did we...
I don't think there's any question for the board tonight, other than the district engineer just needs to continue. That's a tract that's within the boundaries of the district. He needs to continue to provide them with information about where water and sewer utilities are, like any other customer.
And show him what it's going to take, where he has to go connect to us. And get, he'll have to get prices for that, right?
Yes.
It's not like we're going to do a feasibility to tell him how much it costs. He's got to do it. He'll get an engineer.
Yep.
And he'll, okay.
Yep. So, that's all I got.
Yeah. And he'll pay our regular rates that we do for commercial, that we have for commercial tribes.
Correct. Jason, without, you know, actually giving me a real number, what... would you, what's your opinion of the likelihood of someone paying for that kind of infrastructure?
For what?
For, in this particular situation, wherever this person has to, however many miles or feet or...
Well, Mike was just saying that this water line is actually extended to here, so all he has to do is just tie on.
Right, and then the sewer?
The sewer, he'd have to figure out how to get here. So
okay,
he'd have
so that's
to fill...
not that far. Like, that, this really could happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I think last month we talked about
it's no different than the car wash.
I don't know how
they're
going to
do it. Yeah.
No, well, I just didn't know how they were going to do it.
But the car wash is
moving dirt.
Environmentally, how are they going to do it?
I think I misunderstood how close those were.
Yeah.
Not that,
So. We can't control that, though.
Right. Yeah. That's not our jurisdiction.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, that's all I got.
All right, Jason, thank you very much. Okay, the next item is the status of litigation between SJRA and City of Conroe.
Some of you may have read the newspaper article. There's been yet another development in that that I'm sure the Lone Star folks have been talking about a lot. There, in the City of Conroe appears to have won a victory of sorts, so that I'm sure will be challenged in an appeals court. They've got a summary judgment that that one of the rules of Lone Star, the big rule, that the reduction in groundwater that's supposed to take place, that was supposed to take place January 1, 2016, was invalid. And I read the motion. I haven't read everything, but I did read the motion for summary judgment that Conroe filed that was successful. And it seemed like the crux of their argument was that that Lone Star regulated on a user basis instead of on an aquifer basis. In other words, they exempted some of the smaller water users, like they limited it to
under
trying to do
gallons,
under 10 million gallons a year. The large volume, their rule was designed for large volume groundwater users, which use over 10 million gallons per year. And I remember when they were trying to enact those rules, and I know why they did it. I mean, or I think I know, because people came out of the woodworks and were saying, "You're gonna come on my property and mess with my little well." The farmers and the very small users, and so as a result, I believe the Lone Star crafted, and I think that was one of the reasons they crafted it that way, and so the court held that that was an impermissible, that they'd gone too broad with their powers in making a rule that tried to discriminate against certain users and doing it on a user basis. I'm probably butchering the law on that, but that's basically what I got out of it. And I don't know, you're Mr. Ridgeway, you're probably closer.
I mean, I've
to the
got opinions on it.
I am that. Like,
I'm concerned about how this war gives out with the election coming up.
Right.
I'm not speaking politically. I'm just going the way this new board is set up. It's 7 instead of 9. They're elected versus appointed. And so it goes with the county, and then one for each precinct, right? Well, that would have been fair, because that would have equally... But the Woodlands gets an extra vote, and Conroe gets an extra vote because they're such large groundwater users is what I have heard. But then when you look at this area, you know, we represent a lot of water too. Point is, I don't know, I mean, there's a case where that new board, whoever that board might be, comes on and they don't appeal. And then, okay, now you have an interesting situation because that could, I think, financially affect if we signed a contract, and I believe when I spoke with SJRA about that contract, they can make us use up to 90% surface water. I remember, I'm pretty sure that was right, because I was like blown away by how high they could make us use. Does that sound right?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but our goal is to hit a number for them. And so during the winter months, we're supposed to be on all surface water. And during the summer, when we're in extreme usages, there's going to be a max they'll be able to give us, and then we'll supplement with our wells. So it could be 100%.
So look at how this gets really conflated real quickly. SJRA appeals court, well, sorry, appeals courts tells SJRA, these contracts are valid that mm-hmm. we signed. This LSGCD deal, right, if it doesn't get appealed, then I don't know how that shakes out, right, other than some entities being able to get out of the contract, and little old us ends up absorbing it because those bonds got to be paid. And then
right.
the last thing I'll say on it is, let's say, like, this is just Mad Max world now. SJRA, basically, that thing just sits there, and someone has to pick up the tab on it. I'm not going to speculate on that, but then we all go to groundwater. I guess I'm wondering, from your point of view, both, you know, can, in that really far-fetched scenario, would our wells?
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. You guys voted bond to drill your third well because of that.
And but if everybody turns their pumps on, because, you know, when y'all, before surface water was introduced, I'm just trying to think the last drought, and I can't remember which one of you I was talking with.
Last drought, we only had two wells. Okay. We only had two wells.
So they're not going to, like...
Last drought was the reason for the third well.
Right. Okay. That's when you guys voted more bonds. That's
I know that's thinking way out there, but no, I don't think anybody knows how this is going to...
We've talked about those scenarios in our office, Paul Raddick and I, because that is exactly the doomsday
scenario. And the problem is, when I say they, there's always... going to be two other areas that have an extra vote over us, as far as how the Woodlands has an extra in Conroe. So I just don't see any policy coming out that favors us. But what do I? So that's my.
Well, but the Woodlands does need more water capacity. More than likely, they would not now want to lose that.
The Woodlands has always had
a
need for water.
And then is the city of Conroe in contract with?
Well, they are, but they're the ones fighting to get they do have a contract.
So but you see what I'm saying? If water goes from northeast to south, you know, they're north, and I would think if they turn on their pumps hard, that's a problem for us.
But the city of Houston would probably need water, I would think. I mean, they would eventually, somebody is going to need more capacity that would buy it. I mean, where they could put it in a pipeline somewhere, you know. Who knows?
Anyway, so... I said,
it's just more convoluted.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's it's just getting more and more, and the lawyers are making.
Yeah. Well, Lori, is there anything that don't take anything I just, but like, is there anything that this board could do additional to fend off any possible craziness?
We're going to just keep an eye on it, just for all our clients, mm-hmm. because of what just happened. Because
I could, like, the fact that South County and us just did something, right. I could imagine where we just go east and just go, hey, we all need to get together and make sure, not in a vote, like, not telling people who to vote for. I'm just saying, expressing to the new board, because there's no incumbents. There's some people that are on the board that are running, but they're not incumbents because it's a new kind of board.
Correct.
So making sure that they know that we matter.
Right. No, we'll be watching.
I mean, Rick Moffitt is our rep.
Rick Moffitt is on the Lone Star board, and he is running.
And we would want him to be on there because he is fighting. Would, I mean, I would think he would fight for the appeal, but.
Yeah, I don't know he would fight for an
yeah.
appeal.
Mm-hmm. So.
I believe he would.
But how many people are thinking about this vote?
Well, there's four. So it's Rick Moffitt, Christina Moore, John, I can't pronounce his last name, maybe Bouchard. It's got a thing,
oh, yeah.
an accent.
Mm-hmm.
And, I feel bad because I can't remember his name. Maybe, I can't remember it, sorry.
But with such a, it's going to
so
be
there's
very
four.
Turnout for it because not really many people know about this election for these board members. Very
right.
few. Very few.
I mean, I don't know if we, Richard Rankle, that's the fourth.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we can mail something out that just says that election's happening.
I think we should not spend district money on that because we could be seen as taking some kind of political
that would be good,
position.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to have to
shake out how it shakes
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Well, I've been telling this to me.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the update. Our next item is the first amended and restated agreement for out-of-district services.
Catawal, I think. Yes.
Thank you. Everyone
butchers it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I did send to the board, Jason had a chance between last and last month to review the proposed revisions to the contract, and I sent a copy to you all, and basically what I did here was just amend it to describe the large, you know, they've bought another tract of land, so it was basically 5 acres, and now it's 8.6438, and most of the other terms remain same as when you all approved this back in 2017. The only other items, we did have a limitation on the property use before and we had it divided up by tracts, but now since it's all kind of one tract, we put the limitation on the entire tract and named the items car wash, gas station, multi-tenant strip center with no more than 45,000 square feet and up to 8 retail buildings, and that's the information that we were given. And the 28,000, I've got 28,140 gallons per day for water and 17,000 for sewer, and that's the limitation on the tract, and 20-year term. Those are the only changes to the previous agreement that the board approved. So.
All right, so it looks good to you.
Mm-hmm.
Lori agrees. I've read over some of it. I wouldn't say every last sentence, but those important parts. And you are in agreement with it as well?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just here to see yes today.
Okay. Well, it's been going on for a while, I'm sure.
Unfortunately, my father couldn't make it. He had a family emergency, but I'm just
here
to see this place. So.
Yes, sir. And I know he's looked over. Okay. And I need a motion to accept this contract.
I make that motion.
Second?
I still have questions.
Oh.
Yes. Well, please.
Okay. I
please.
Was waiting. What... It seemed like last time we talked about this, and I'm acknowledging that a lot of this stuff isn't always sticking. Fair enough. But it seems like the tone is very different right now. Like, am I misremembering the last time this was talked about? Am I mixing this up with another one? Is this out of district, in district?
This is out of district.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sounded like there were issues with it last time. So what, when you said those are the changes, what about those changes is now, if you had a pros and cons that you were gonna throw at me real quick, what would I need to know?
The only changes were that they bought another piece of property.
Yeah.
And so we increased the amount of capacity and happened. We increased the, or we changed the description of the tract.
We were, but were we asking
three times the...
So that remained the same.
Okay, yeah. So that is where we are picking up, and then... The infrastructure, like
those costs are to be borne by them. Mm-hmm. The infrastructure costs. I mean,
so we had an agreement with them. We had an agreement with them for a certain size track.
Yeah.
And then they went on ahead and bought the one next or behind it, increase it. So we had to stop and do a feasibility study.
Okay.
And
it's all coming back to me now. I appreciate it.
And I believe Mr. Nichols, I'm not sure he'll have to speak for himself, but I don't. He was not ever in favor of an out-of-district service agreement, so I don't expect him to be.
Well, it was the 20 years that threw me, because I was and obviously I don't understand everybody's perspective on it, and I'm trying to make sure I do, that annexing the area was not, you know, they, y'all weren't, maybe your father?
I think they did, but I think y'all denied us on that.
Well, yes, they asked for it.
Yeah, we asked for it, because that would be better for us.
So I'm kind of just going like 20 years versus like, hey, let's say those businesses are, I don't know, like 20 years is a long time to agree to anything. Is there a way that after, you know, 4 years, the question of annexation could be revisited? Or is that contract written in a way where they could?
Well, I just don't know if they would be willing to make the infrastructure for a 4-year commitment for services.
That you could keep path A, right, which is what we're talking about right now. The path B is just at some point down the road, this board asked them if they're interested in being annexed.
Well, the board is the ones that didn't want the annexation, and the cost to these guys would be the same if we annexed them or charged this certain percent.
And that's how we ended
that's
up
why we decided, and then our relationship is not as big as if we do out of district. I mean, they don't have all of the same things as if they were, and they don't have to pay the taxes, so they know their fixed cost.
The tax rate is really low.
Yeah.
You're going to get more money this way.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the answer.
Right.
I get it, but I'm also thinking of like a world in which those half-cent deals with the city of Houston pop up down. I'm not saying they'll ever happen. What are they called?
Strategic partnerships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking like if that ever materialize, the more commercial property you have, the better. Which we don't, that was over a year ago, the conversation when I was just out there talking about it. The issue was we didn't have enough commercial property. Well, to even look into it.
Right. But the concern of the old board, and this new board will have to make their own decision, but the concern of the old board was more along the lines of what redevelopment there could be there, and controlling that capacity. And if you put something in the district, then you have less discretion about, for instance, this.
Right.
You have to, this comes and you say it's in the district, mm-hmm. we serve it.
It's it's
out of the district. Okay,
I'm willing to say this is
we limit it to these things, this capacity.
It's much more specific now than it was a year ago. When it was first brought to the board a year ago, there was really no detail at all as to what the commercial space was going to be. I mean, I think even originally at one time, it was listed as possibly storage.
Yeah.
Right? So it wasn't even looking at wastewater when it was first discussed. So it was very unspecific, and that's why we kind of just kept kicking it back.
Well, you guys can dictate what happens,
right,
and you make more money off of it. So mm-hmm. I think that was, at that time, that
so
was
without even
advantage.
A sales tax, we get more revenue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, last question. If we go ahead with this 20-year deal, what stops a conversation in 4 or 5 years about, not that they would do it, but what would stop that conversation from happening?
Nothing.
So it could still happen. That's all. That's,
I have another district that provides provided out of district service to folks and said, okay, when you're a church or whatever you are and you're not big enough to pay all the costs, you know, their substantial costs associated with getting an annexation approved. So we'll just serve you as out of district until the next round or the next two or three people who want to be annexed, and then we'll give you a chance in at that time. So the board could make a decision, but
and it wouldn't be a problem with
Board cannot annex on its own power. They would have to.
And the only reason I bring it up because I believe your father had expressed interest, and I get it. I get what you're saying, right? But does that end up being an issue with Houston's ETJ at all from that other conversation where, since we're in their ETJ, we don't need their permission to put someone in our boundaries?
Well, we're not putting them in our boundaries.
I know. So, I'm saying hypothetically, if we were.
If we would annex them, I guess.
If you annex them, you get city consent. That's
so it's still part of the deal. Like you've got to go get their permission.
No.
Okay.
Have to get City of Houston consent. That's what makes annexation so costly.
Yeah.
Because there's a.
Well, I cover my bases. I'll second.
Okay. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Thank you. On our favorite agenda item is the
no SBA. Action. I haven't heard from them.
Conveyance of facilities, and there's no action on that. And developers report.
No, haven't heard anything from them.
We do not have anything for the executive session. And
is this when we would request agenda items for next, or do I communicate?
Yeah. To
you
all? Yes.
Yeah. We could do it now.
That would be fine. Yeah,
I'd like to request. On the agenda for next month's meeting that we have a review of our system that's been established with OffSynco and see how it's worked and also see if there's need for further recordings. Should there be that need, then I think it needs to be announced verbally at the beginning of the meeting that it's being done, especially if it's being done by one of the directors.
Very fair. And so I would also like to speak now about adding agenda items. And this is a good time, I think, that we discuss it as a board, how we want to move forward. If we want to go speak to the constable about a different contract, that we all agree that that's something that we should do as an agenda. So if we could just, I don't know, is this... I mean, is how do we add agenda items? Just any person? Person in the community?
No, I don't take a request from the community.
Do we need to agree as a board?
Well, the way you have, because, but with the board, there's many things that I brought up as a citizen, and the board said, let's talk about next month.
I don't just take calls out of the,
I just don't want to just add agenda items that the board has no interest in. That's kind of where I'm getting at,
Well, what does no interest mean? 20% interest? Is that interest?
I think if we just ask at the end of our meeting,
But, percentage of board members need to agree for that interest to be explored? Are you talking a majority?
No. Not at all.
Okay. Well, then it seems like you've already... We've already got that.
But this would be a good place to ask for it instead of, just randomly.
Are you talking about with the constable where I reached out?
Yeah.
But I reached out to you.
Well, that's one place. I'm just saying, so we can, let's just bring it out in front of everybody.
Yeah.
That's
but,
all. That's where I'm
But what happens when there's something between meetings and we can't have a quorum? I thought that went to the president as...
I don't know.
As a courtesy.
Usually.
It does.
A lot of times. Okay. If we're going to get, if we're going to have a lot of things going here, between meetings, I would appreciate just communicating with John.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good.
Instead of not to hurt anybody's feelings, but everybody got my legal bill. Mm-hmm. If I... talk to all five of everybody about all kinds of things between the meetings.
Okay, well, I have to just try to, make sure I take into consideration of everybody's thoughts and how to proceed. But it's always good to have an agenda item so we can talk about it. So if we, you know, want to do something that major, we, you know, before we go to the constable, we bring it back to the board and say, hey guys, is there interest in this? You know, and just get a feel from the board, see what they think. We got a couple guys, that may be enough, you know. Because we want to bring that discussion here. That was a good discussion to have, you know. If we can find a way to save the district money, then that needs to be discussed here at our meeting. That's what we're here. But I just want to try and open up for more discussion so we just don't try to just bring in a lot of things that aren't useful for our
Well, I think that's going to trail off. I mean, as I read the minutes, when you got on the board, John, and some of the others, that it was natural, that seems to be the pattern, that new people have...
That's right.
So
no.
I get it. We don't want four-hour meetings. I mean, I remember us talking about the email accounts at this time. I didn't see, you know, an agenda item or discussion about that. So I don't know how the system is supposed to work.
Well, I think we were going to speak to Alcinko about it. She couldn't make it tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
The idea was on that, you know, and she couldn't come. So we found a way to take care of the recording without her here tonight. So we.
What's the upload process going to be? Do we know that yet?
I do it as soon as the meeting's over.
Would y'all be open to one of the board members uploading it to save money?
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to do. It'll take
me 5 minutes to do it after.
We're just going to send it to
right. Well, I was just thinking 5 minutes at $300 an hour.
I would prefer to.
I didn't think it was going to take 5 minutes. I thought it was going to be like a.
No, she's just going to do it right here at the end of our meeting, and then Alcinko's going to.
Alcinko does the rest. Okay. All I do is upload it to the Google Drive using the Wi-Fi here.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think we'll talk about those email accounts next month?
I was actually going to tell you that, let's see, what did Shannon tell me about that?
And again, the purpose was just trying to separate my personal emails. I think especially there was
I've set up my own email for the mud on my own, a Gmail, I believe it was. And I find it very hard to go and keep track of all those.
Well, it sounds like that our domain we are either already paying. I don't know. I thought she had said that we're already paying for it, and I'm just going to use it.
That's what she told me something, Mr. Ridgeway, and now I just can't remember what it was.
I can wait. That is not
okay.
Something.
Well, how does the rest of the board feel about having a separate email to deal with?
Let me say this: there is already an email that goes through the web browser, and that currently goes. We have it set up to come to Christy Shaver in my office. 99 times out of 10, it's his.
They forward it to me.
It gets forwarded to mom because she has to look at it, and it's people who want to set up service, or I saw a water line leak, or I saw that. I think I mentioned to you 2 months ago that one time we had somebody make a Public Information Act request through it. But really, it's...
Oh, so now it goes to you, and you have to deal with it, and then since...
It doesn't go to me. It goes to Christy Schaefer, because she's a paralegal.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking about something more personal, like
you're
Jay
talking about her, I know, and I actually asked her about that, and now I'm sorry, I can't find the email.
The young lady with Alcinko said she was going to look into that.
Right.
Perhaps she hasn't had time, so we need to give her a chance.
So are y'all all interested in having a separate email account?
We would each have one that would say, the dirty old man, road mud, or whatever.
That's right.
Okay.
Say that.
Well, it would be best.
Whatever it would say.
It would be best, because if you get a public information request for emails and you got to go through all of your emails, it makes it.
That one's already used.
Okay.
I apologize.
It's fine.
She did.
We can look into it next month. I don't know if. Back to the point, if it needed to be an agenda item, or if we can just talk about that next.
Well, if we're going to spend money for it, we need to have an agenda item. So we need then to vote on that, spending the money for it. And
emails are automatic.
It sounds like that's what we need.
So she's coming back next, you wanted to come back next month anyway to talk about.
Yes.
Well, we just need to know what our charges are going to be to set up a board of directors email accounts for five of us.
For all five.
Well, it could be. How, I mean, if John, you didn't want one, why would we pay for it?
Lori,
it would be better now.
But on one of her monthly fees, five director emails is included. And okay. I don't know if this board took it, that one or not.
Okay, yeah, on an option that she had, yeah, right.
May already be there. Huh? It may already be there.
Depending on what package you took.
Okay,
well, let's have an agenda item for that. And, I mean, I don't know that we need her now because you've got the directions to...
Well, did you want her to attend next month, or you just want to speak about the issue?
No, she doesn't have... For us to have some kind of evaluation, I mean, as I understand it, I can go home, and after you push the button, Lori, and give it an hour, I could go to the...
It's going to be tomorrow.
It'll probably be tomorrow. Because all I do is upload it to their Google Drive.
But within a matter of hours.
She is the one who then pulls it down.
I can listen to the meeting.
Yes,
within a matter of hours.
That's yes, right. Sir.
Okay.
And then somebody can probably take it from there and post it wherever they want to. So they can probably
link
copy
it.
They can link it. That's what they would do.
Did everybody get the AWBD? Email the legislative update. Oh,
found
ahead.
It. He can use the generic board at Rayford Road MUD account that is included with the website, but limited to 10 megabytes of storage, or he can have his own unlimited email account for $10 a month.
We'll start with what's included right now. And see
well,
where
somebody
our
will have to tell us how to set it up, you know, where we go.
But that.
Sorry. The emails are on this thing too, but I don't know if that is the board one or if that's a different one that is going to us every month.
Well, we
but
can just look into
there's
it.
The answer
at the November meeting.
Surely she won't have to come. Maybe she could just give us a little written information.
Yes, hey, right. Yeah,
for
yeah.
Her
if
to
we all
yeah, trip
does
out.
Does the
right.
entire you want to look at getting five of them?
Let's see about it. Yes, it would be better for us. Yes, I mean we don't. Do you receive any? Oh yeah, your agenda.
Well, it'd be nice to give it out when people are asking stuff, and it doesn't all have to go through social media. I mean, because I do have people that reach out through, and it would just be easier and more organized.
Yeah.
If I could just go through it.
Business cards. I've done it for other board members. Just say it.
Oh, you just throw
it's
that
cheap.
In?
Sorry.
Is that part? Is that included? Is that included, Mike? Or do we have?
Oh, it's absolutely included in my rate.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
He's joking, but I think we should have a logo. I think we should have all kinds of. You know,
I mean,
when I look at Spring Creek Utility District.
Oh yeah, they wear
they've got
shirts,
their faces.
They wear
they've
shirts
got.
And everything.
The point is, you know who they are. You know who your elected officials are.
By the way, I'm not sure.
The AWBD thing, I'm just bringing that up. Mm-hmm. Should anyone want to go to that? I don't know what is on the next session's agenda that MUDs would be concerned about. So I'll just, in case Lori knows of anything. But that's what it said. It said it was a legislative update for MUDs.
I saw that. In fact, I brought the thing with me tonight, and I would agree with you, Mr. Ridgway. I don't see anything there that we can't read in the paper, quite honestly. It's legislative things that are in action.
No,
so
you're,
if
I mean,
you
it's,
want it,
it's
you
a fair
take.
Point, except the paper staff is like 1/10 of what it was 5 years ago, so they're not covering it. I mean, I'm not being...
it's available if we want to get to it. The person wants to get to it, it's available. Without
so
going to that
do we want to put? Is there? Are you asking to have?
I'm just seeing if anybody wanted to go, and then two, if you knew Lori, if there is any like major legislative actions that we should care about.
I mean, I think that's just the gear up, isn't it? They're not even in session yet, so I'm not sure what that'll. Mm-hmm. What they'll be saying on at the January conference on that.
This one is I think October 20-something.
Oh, the one you're talking.
Yeah,
about
this is just
this
an
is
evening
the quarterly,
thing.
Oh,
the
okay.
Quarterly dinner, breakfast, or you know they have a
Anyway, that's, I'd go to it, but
okay. Is there anything, any other pending business?
You can
wait. Okay, a motion to adjourn.
I just have a quick question. What are the next steps on the property owner doing?
I mean, I guess just work with the engineer on your design of your utilities and expansion and all that. I've got the agreement here for the board to sign.
Like, that's
what
not going to...
What is it? I mean, you're just going on your own to one night?
Well, I'd be going through our membership.
But where is it at?
It's West Houston.
Oh, okay.
Area. But I'll be out that direction. Anyway, just it's not like the conference. It's not a giant thing, but I'm bringing it up. I was seeing if anybody else...
Mm-mm. No, I don't want to go.
Okay. Well, does anybody mind if I go?
I mean, there's no expenses.
There's something. I don't know what it was. It wasn't
close to $100 because there's meals involved. So it's not a free event even to members.
I don't need mileage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that probably would not only in addition to that, it would probably include per diem. So that's an amount also, so it's not an inexpensive thing. It's a couple $100 or more for someone to attend.
Well, y'all, I mean, that's why I'm bringing it up. I feel like the thing that happened with South County Mud was in part because I was talking to people on their board, and it seems like there are side benefits to going to these things. You get the information, but you're also learning about what's going on in other people's districts, and they're learning about what's going on in yours. So that's the end of it. I don't feel like fighting over it. I just am putting myself out there saying I'm willing to go. I know that we had some issues last time because John wanted more information. The more information I had was on social media, and it was such a hot night that I just did not feel like I should be talking about that for 10 more minutes. So...
Okay. All right. We have a motion for adjournment, right?
Well, did we answer whether or not there's an issue with me going?
I mean, if you want to go. I mean.
Well, yeah, but I'm not saying we got to.
Because you could go without getting a per diem, and we could pay your bill. I mean, I've taken training recently without getting a per diem.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go like that, then go, and we'll pay your bill. That's fair enough, right?
Pay the registration fee, the $100 or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine with me.
He said he didn't want any mileage. I don't think we need to pay him a per diem either. I've done training without it, so. I mean, if you're bringing some information back, then that might be different, you know.
Well, it may be posted after the meeting also. So
yeah. We could read about it after.
Look, I'm not super pumped about going. I feel like it's good to go to these things, and I'd like to get y'all at some point to see the value.
I've talked to these guys at the other MUDs that have gone to these conferences, and I've asked them, hey, what's important that I'm missing? And they have,
I go to a lot of these types of events for work.
Have I gotten any information
probably,
for them?
Probably three or four a week most of the time. And, or if I'm not going, representatives that work for me go. And I'm always trying to attach an ROI.
Mm-hmm.
To these events, and there never is one. And again, in my world, it's in the legal world, and I find these are just more of, they turn into big social gatherings. I spend a lot of money for people to go to these things, and nobody comes back with anything. So,
okay,
I'm not opposed to you going. I have a hard time saying, hey, I'm going to go to one of these things because I do it, you know, as my full time career as well, mm-hmm. and there is no ROI to it. I mean, there's none. A prime example, the company asked me to go to one for the Texas Associated of Defense Councils in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I was there for 4.5 days and spent thousands of dollars to be there. And it will do nothing for our business whatsoever. It was just a drain, right? So that's why I'm just really opposed to some of these things because you know, I'm always trying to figure out, is there an ROI to it? What's the, and maybe the ROI is not, it's not tied to a dollar amount, but it's tied to what's it going to bring to the board. And quite frankly, the one that you went on, we didn't get anything out of that one.
So you didn't feel like that the fact that South County partnered with us was, I mean, that had
not really. I'll be honest with you, the only thing I remember out of that whole thing that you brought up was the social media thing, and here we are 3 months later, and it's still an issue.
Okay, well, that's
so. I mean, I don't want to bring that up.
Yeah, that's anymore, fine.
I'm with John. I make a motion that if you want to go and we just pay your registration fee, that's fine. I got no problem.
So I mean, it kind of goes as this, you know, if for the last 12 years I've been on the board and all five board members went and we all spent $1,400 at every summer conference that we went to, right?
It adds up. Arguing that, okay. I just really think that there's never been a time where 7, these MUDs need to be working together.
That would be $7,000 a summer that we would have spent because we felt good about going and making Southern Montgomery feel good.
You know what?
That would be $70,000 that we would have spent.
If you can't beat them, join them, forget it. I am serious. I really think that our district is going to be facing some serious issues, and we're acting like isolated North Korea. But we don't really talk to anybody around us. They don't know what's going on over here.
We do, James.
I'm leaving alone. But
we've got Mike. We have.
Are we
Jason,
done?
Why don't
you second his motion if you
like second.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.
Go team.
Call
them. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain from adjournment.
From adjournment from this matter?
He's been wanting to do that.
You got down to 2-2. You abstain, not to hit you.
I can't bed down back there.
You got stuff to do.
Yes, sir. Hold on.
What'd you do with my bill?